I want you to take a minute now, and I want you to think back on this past year. And maybe you can't cover the whole year in a minute, but I would just think back on this past year. And I want to ask you a question. How many things did you face last year that were completely unexpected? And let me put it another way. Did you face some things or go through some things last year that were completely unexpected? Yes? If you did, raise your hand. Okay, how much of life this past year turned out exactly as you planned? Anybody? At the end of any year, we face the beginning of a new year. And it's natural for us to wonder what the future holds. I mean, this is the year 2020. I mean, that's like bigger than Y2K, I don't know. Year 2020, I mean, it's hard to even fathom that we're at this juncture, at least it is for me. And sometimes, you know, the future seems to be all set. We think about our plans, we think about our goals. The reality is we often find that things don't necessarily always go as we plan, but, you know, you might have a pretty good idea of what 2020 holds for you. But there are certainly other times in our lives when our future seems uncertain. We really don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what challenges we face. And we may already be facing some that seem rather daunting. But the truth of the matter is, not a one of us here know what is coming in this year ahead. And there are some things that we face in life that really are totally beyond our control. We can't necessarily anticipate them. When they come, we can't deal with them on our own. There are some things in life that we face from time to time that are totally beyond our control. But then there are other things that come in life that we have the responsibility for, that we have to deal with according to the gifts and responsibilities God has given to us. Now, I want to do a little exercise with you, and there's an insert in your bulletin paper that you're welcome to write on it now, or you can take it home and do it later, but I want to just take a couple minutes to go through this exercise as you think about this coming year. And the first thing I want you to do is to think about what are some of the things you may face this year that you have no control over. They could be things that you already know are ahead of you. They could be things that may or may not be, things that you worry about. They may be unforeseen things that you think about. You know, what if this happens? But remember, these are things that you cannot control. Just, if you want to, just jot down for a minute or on that paper or think in your mind, what are some of the things you might face this year that you have absolutely no control over? I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to scribble or to think. These are things that you cannot fix on your own. These are things that you cannot control on your own. Anybody want to shout out anything? Our health. We may face a health crisis that we don't even anticipate, or we may know that there's some stuff going on that is coming, but our health, we can't always control a health crisis. Any other things that come to mind? Pardon me? Domestic violence, yes. Natural disasters, we can't control those. The economy, for the most part, we can't necessarily control. War, if it were to come, God forbid. Loss of a job, death of a loved one, broken relationships. There's a lot of things that, and these are things that we've all gone through at previous times in our lives that we face, but they're things that are outside of our control. We have no control over them. Okay, the second thing I want you to write down or to think about is, what are some of the things that you face this year that you do have control over? And by control over, I mean you have the responsibility and you have the resources to deal with whatever that is. What are some things that you might be responsible for in this coming year? And they could be problems or challenges that are in your life right now that you have to work through. They may be things that you know that you're going to have to deal with, that you can't escape, but they're not someone else's problem, and they're something that you have to deal with. Things that I should deal with myself. Write down any things that might come to your mind. And maybe these are the kind of things that we put on a list of New Year's resolutions. Things that you can do or that you are responsible for. Some of the things I wrote down are proper diet and exercise. My new doctor's already told me that I need to walk 30 minutes a day. That's not something that I just say, oh, I'll let God do that for me. I've got to do it myself. It could be just taking care of ourselves health-wise. Things like moral purity, where it's our responsibility to keep our eyes from evil and to make the right decisions. A lot of the issues with relationships with others, there may be some that are out of our control because it's the other person, perhaps, but most often in relationships, we have some responsibility in that relationship, and if it's strained or if it's torn or it's broken, we have responsibility to make it right. Conflict resolution, you know, the Bible makes it clear that we're to resolve those things. Putting biblical teachings into practice, I mean, we know what God's word says, and we're responsible for putting that into practice. So there are some things that we face in life and that probably we will face in this coming year that are beyond what we can manage and control on our own. And yet, truthfully, the tendency is we want to control and manage everything on our own, but there are some things that we may experience in this coming year that are beyond what we can manage, beyond what we can control. And it's in those things that we need to trust God and rest in Him, because we can't do it on our own. We can't manage it. We can't control it. But there are other things that come in our lives that we are responsible for, and we need to act courageously, and we need to do the right thing. We need to ask ourselves, what am I responsible to let go of and trust God with, and what am I responsible to deal with in my life, in my relationships? Now, I think it's kind of interesting that I'll speak for myself here. We end up fretting about the things that we cannot control, and then we neglect the things that are within our ability and responsibility to do. Do you ever find yourself doing that? You fret about things that are outside of your control, but you don't do what you should do in terms of your responsibilities in your everyday life. And the fact of the matter is, we really shouldn't worry about what we can't control. And we should invest our energy in the things that we can control, in the sense of what we're responsible to do. We can have confidence that God goes with us into this new year. And we can have courage that He will give us the strength for whatever we face, even if we don't anticipate or can't even envision it now. In the Bible, Joshua is one of the great character studies, one of my favorite. And Joshua was someone who faced huge challenges in his future. And he was someone who needed courage, courage that comes from the knowledge of God's presence with us. So I want to read this passage. I know it's familiar to you, and a number of years ago, I preached about Joshua and this passage, and even for a couple of my grandsons, the one verse is one of their favorite verses, and I don't know how many Bible verses they know, but they know that one: be strong and courageous, don't be afraid. So I'll read beginning in the first verse. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west, which is the Mediterranean. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart out from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In the Bible, we have this story of Joshua that unfolds. It starts clear back in Exodus, after the people had escaped from, God had delivered them from captivity and slavery in Egypt. For hundreds of years, they'd been slaves, and God brought them out. And in Exodus chapter 17, we find that Joshua was leading the fighting men of Israel against the Amalekites. They were on their journey out of Egypt. They were going through the wilderness. They were heading to the land that God had promised to them. And we see about Joshua's character that he actively served. He was in the trenches. He was involved in doing what God had called him to do. And then later in Exodus chapter 24, we discover that he had become the aide, the young aide to Moses. And Moses was the leader of this whole about 2 million strong group of Israelites who were journeying from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. And as an aide of Moses, Joshua accompanied him up to Mount Sinai, and that's where God spoke to Moses, and he communicated to him what we know as the Ten Commandments, and he communicated to Moses all the laws that would govern this group of Israelites who eventually would become a nation. And it's interesting when you think about Joshua going along with Moses that he was willing to take second place. I mean, he served in the trenches, he was willing to take second place, and he was always with Moses. In Exodus 33, we read about the fact that when Moses would talk to God in the tent of meeting, which was a place that they'd set up outside of the camp, and Moses would go out to pray and to talk with God. And Scripture describes that Moses would talk to God face to face. Now, that didn't mean literally face to face, but it was figurative of a close relationship, and that there was that closeness and God's presence was there. Well, Joshua would go with him to the tent of meeting, and when Moses would come out, Joshua would stay behind at the tent of meeting and was there witnessing everything that happened. Joshua spent time in God's presence. And then the people of Israel came to the border of the promised land at a place called Kadesh Barnea, and Joshua was one of 12 chosen people from the 12 tribes of Israel to go out and scout the land. He was in the advance reconnaissance party. He was entrusted with a major responsibility. We read that story in Numbers 13 and 14. He was dependable. And then as that story unfolded, Joshua, along with Caleb, they brought back a good report, and they had faith that God would give them what he had promised, that this land was a land flowing with milk and honey. It had everything that they could possibly need. And they had confidence. Joshua had confidence and faith that God was bigger than the challenges of that land. Everybody else just saw the people as giants, and they saw the fortified cities, and they were terrified, and they told everybody, we can't do it. But Joshua, along with Caleb, had the confidence and faith that God was bigger than those challenges. And then Joshua ends up, along with Caleb, surviving 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because the people of Israel had disobeyed God, didn't trust him to go into the promised land, and they were condemned to wander till that whole generation of adults died off in the wilderness. The rest of his peers, the rest of Joshua's peers, with the exception of Caleb, had died in the wilderness in that 40 years. And so Joshua was, and Caleb were two that were privileged to be part of that next generation who would go into the promised land. He persisted in his faith, even though it was a long, difficult stretch. I mean, imagine 40 years of your life. It would feel like it's wasted wandering in the wilderness. Nothing good was happening during those 40 years. At the end of Moses' life, and Moses would die before the people would go into the promised land, Moses appointed Joshua to succeed him as the next leader of Israel. And we can read the account both in Numbers 27 and in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So when you look at Joshua and his character, I mean, he was somebody who was involved, actively served in the trenches. He was willing to take second place. He spent time in God's presence. He was entrusted with responsibility because he was dependable. He had confidence and faith that God was bigger than the challenges that lay ahead of them. He persisted in his faith even through a long, difficult stretch of time when he didn't see much good happening around him. And in the end, God honored Joshua's faithfulness by giving him this responsibility of leading the people of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua, when we come to this point in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is facing a huge challenge. He didn't really know what was ahead other than the fact that there were huge fortified cities like Jericho. And there were strong people in the land that looked like giants. And if that wasn't enough, there was a river, the Jordan River, that was in flood stage that would be impossible to cross. And yet God is saying, you take these people across this river into this land. Now, prior to Joshua taking over leadership of the people of Israel, and this is back in Deuteronomy 31, if you want to look it up later, Moses had encouraged him to be strong and courageous. He had told Joshua that he would lead the people, and he encouraged him to be strong and courageous. Later, we read at the end of Joshua chapter 1 that the people of Israel were affirming the leadership of Joshua, and they also encouraged him to be strong and courageous. And I thought about that, about how in our lives, whatever we're facing in the future, whether it's things that we know we have to deal with and walk through, or whether it's the unknown things that will come, God always has other people to help us and encourage us and give us hope and strengthen us. So it was Moses who encouraged Joshua, be strong and courageous. It was the people of Israel who encouraged Joshua, be strong and courageous. And when Joshua was willing to take on this God-sized task of leading the people of Israel into the promised land, it was God himself who encouraged him and spoke to him and called him to be strong and courageous. And in this passage here in Joshua chapter 1, we see that whatever God calls us to, or whatever he leads us through, he promises that he will be with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. You come to that fourth verse in this passage in Joshua chapter 1. Over the fifth verse, he says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And those words actually are repeated in the book of Hebrews when it talks about Jesus. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. So think about that. Whatever it is that God leads you to or through in this coming year, he will be with you, and he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you. Those are words that we can hold on to. Those are words of great promise. And like he did with Joshua, God will repeatedly call us and remind us to be strong and courageous. These are the character traits that we need if we're going to live in a world that is broken and fallen and has so many challenges and so many trials. We need to be strong and courageous. If we're to do God's will and we're to live for him in a way that brings glory to him, we need to be strong and courageous. And I think that like Joshua, we must need that encouragement. Three times in this short conversation in verses 6 and 7 and 9, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I think, well, why does God say it a second time? Why does God say it a third time? And probably it's because we have thick skulls and it doesn't always get through. And so he says to Joshua the first time in verse 6, be strong and courageous. You know, you will lead these people. And he says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And then down in the 9th verse, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified, and don't be discouraged. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. Now, it could well be that God, being God, knew what was running through Joshua's mind. And the first time that God says, be strong and courageous, maybe Joshua's thinking, God, do you know what you're asking me to do? Maybe he's thinking, God, do you know what's ahead in that land? God, are you really going to be with you? And so God reiterates, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I think that when the Bible says something over and over again, it must be making a point for us. And I apply that to myself. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous because the Lord is with you. Now, that source of strength and encouragement, that source of courage in our life, comes from God's word. And it's not just a random thing that in the middle of this whole passage, like, you're going to lead these people into the promised land, be strong and be courageous. It's no accident in the middle of that, after the second encouraging word to be strong and courageous, God says, be careful to obey the law. It means that what existed to that day as the Bible, what we would call the Bible. It didn't just refer to the Ten Commandments. The word law usually referred to the first five books of the Old Testament, which was the words of Moses. So if we were to apply that in our life, say be strong and courageous, be careful to obey God's word. That would be a better way to translate it. And do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So here's this principle, be strong and courageous, but you need to make sure that you are obeying God's word and that you're not turning from to one side or the other from the truth of his word. And then he goes on to say in the 8th verse, don't let this book of the law, don't let God's word depart from you. Meditate on it day and night, which means that it's not like, you know, zoning out in some, I've said this before, some like Zen-like meditation. It's not emptying your mind of everything. Meditating in a biblical idea was to turn something over and over again in your mind. So when it says to meditate on God's word, it's to turn that word over and over in our mind. When we're reading that word, we don't just read it, we stop and we turn it over and over in our mind. When we memorize God's word and there's times that we're going through difficulties, we can recall that word and turn it over and over again in our mind. So God is saying to Joshua, don't let my word depart from you. Think about it, meditate on it day and night, be careful to do what's written in it, and then you'll be prosperous and successful. So there is a source of strength and courage in our lives that comes from God's word. It's not just randomly saying, well, okay, I'm going to believe God and God's going to give me courage and I don't have to think about it. No, we're responsible to immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word, and it's through that word that he brings strength and courage to us. The opposite of strength is fear, and the opposite of courage is discouragement. And so at the end of this passage, God says again, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, the Israelites would face barriers and battles and challenges and obstacles that were bigger than them and beyond their strength and resources, it would take God's power to overcome those things. And most likely, we too will face some kind of hardships or challenges or difficulties or problems in this year ahead. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just being realistic. And we may face things that are beyond what we're able to do, that will be too difficult for us and beyond our own abilities to handle. And we have to trust God and have faith in Him and rest in Him. But the Israelites also had responsibility to obey God's laws, to act and to live in the ways that He instructed them. They had been given God's word, His laws, and they were responsible to let that word, those precepts, guide them by internalizing them, meditating on them, and putting them into practice. So they had to do the right thing and make the right choices and follow God's command. So you have two sets of things here. You have things that we cannot control, and we need to have the courage and the confidence to trust God and to rest in Him. But there are things that we are responsible for doing in our choices in our lives. And so we are responsible to make the right choices, to follow God's ways, and to act courageously in all of those areas of life that we have personal responsibility for. There are things that the Israelites would have no control over and that they would have to completely trust God in. And they had to face those things with courage and faith. There were also things that the Israelites knew that they should do and practice in regards to the way that they lived their lives and in regards to the way that they treated others. And those things were in God's law, in His word. And they were responsible to obey and to courageously do the right thing. And I think the same is true for us. We have to face the things that are out of our control with courage and faith, trusting God. And we have to be responsible to obey God's word and courageously do the right thing in all the other details of our life. There will be things that happen this coming year that will be beyond our control and our ability to handle on our own. When those things come, our responsibility is to have faith, to trust God, to rest in Him. And there will be challenges this coming year, and there will be things in our lives that we do have the responsibility to deal with in the right way. And we are responsible to be courageous and to do the right thing and to make the right choice and to obey God. And the things that we cannot control, we have faith, we trust God, we rest in Him. And the things that we're responsible to deal with, we do the right thing, we make the right choice, we obey God, we let His word guide our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You that we don't have to have fear about what the future holds. We don't know what 2020 holds, but we have confidence that You do and that You walk with us. Give us strength and courage to walk in Your ways, to obey Your commands, to live as You have called us to live. And help us to do that confidently and joyfully, knowing that You have promised never to leave us or forsake us, but that You are with us. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.